return to the record, Tuesday, August 29th for LS 21-002-003-004. Return with witness Ms. Keppinger on cross by Party Machado. Ms. Keppinger, just as a reminder, you do remain under oath from yesterday. Yes. Any procedural items we need to address before we begin again with testimony? Very good. Mr. Rock, your witness.
Good morning, Ms. Keppinger. Do you acknowledge you're still under oath?
Yes.
Was having the benefit of an overnight and a little editorial distance, is there anything about your testimony yesterday that you think should be clarified?
Not that I recall.
When we left off, I think we were looking at Hearing Examiner Exhibit 87, which is the final order, including findings. Would it help you to see the top of this document, or does this look like that document?
This looks like that document.
And we were looking for, I believe it was Section F. Different Section F. Thank you for being patient. There we are. We're on page 11 going on to page 12. Is that, can you see that also?
Yes, I can.
And so I think where we left off was you testified that it was your memory that in these findings, the city made a specific finding that the money moving to Mr. Machado was a kickback. So up on my screen is that section. And I do see at the, so the first sentence in Section F includes a sentence that the workers testified that they believed there was a kickback arrangement, but that's not a finding that there was a kickback arrangement. Is that accurate?
Well, I think the finding is they were closely integrated financially.
Okay. So, now that you've had a chance to look at Section F, and I'm happy to give you more time or scroll up or down for you to see it, is it accurate to say that there was no specific finding that Mr. Machado received a kickback?
Can you scroll down a little bit, please?
Of course.
So your question is if there was a specific finding that there was a kickback?
Yes.
I think that this arrangement that was described as a kickback supports the finding that the two companies were closely integrated. I think that was the substance of the finding.
Okay. And so I appreciate your understanding that there is a finding of close integration between the two companies. And my question is much more specific, which is to say, would you agree there's no specific finding that money moving to Mr. Machado was a kickback?
I think it was inconclusive. It said that it could be described as a kickback arrangement, but that the key point was the close financial integration.
Between the two companies?
Between Mr. Contreras and Mr. Machado and Baja and Uwe, yes. Two companies and the two people.
Okay, so when the findings of fact were articulated, the way it was articulated was Baja Concrete and New Way Forming were financially closely integrated?
Yes.
Ms. Kettinger, yesterday we looked, we discussed briefly some tenets that the Workplace Investigation Association holds, and that you agreed with a few of those tenets. And I was wondering, you were a part of this workplace investigator training and a member of the association. Are the two investigators on this investigation members of that association?
I'm not sure.
Were they sent for that external training?
I believe they both attended, yes.
What's your confidence level?
I know that they attended. They did not attend, though, at the same time that I remember. Different investigators have gone to the training at different times, depending on availability.
So, they've been exposed to the same information that you were with respect to the best practices in workplace investigations?
Yes.
Of the 53 some Baja workers, of the 53 workers, a limited number cooperated with the city investigation?
Yes.
Would it be a fair assumption that the limited number of workers who participated in the city's investigation, let me call in the question. Is it common that when workers complain of unfair wage practices, that those workers have an ulterior motive? Like they're mad at their employer.
Is that common, that they have an ulterior motive? Is that your question?
Yeah, and more specifically that they're angry with their employer or former employer.
I think that some of the blue collar workers who are angry that they were not paid for the work that they did, or that they were, didn't get the benefit of their legal rights in their workplace.
Sure. Okay. And aside from maybe having emotions to their feelings that there is unpaid work, or unpaid overtime, is it common that the employees are also angry with their former employer for feeling disrespected or some other emotion?
I'm not sure. I think sometimes people do feel that way, sometimes people don't. I'm not sure I'm well placed to know the emotions of the folks in there that are working in these situations.
The first workers to bring these allegations of wage theft to the attention of the Office of Labor Standards, is it fair to say they were among the more highly motivated workers, highly motivated aggrieved parties?
Objection, relevance, hearsay, lack of foundation.
I'll join in that.
May I be heard?
As I pointed out, I expect when there's an objection raised, the response is automatic. To avoid having to have too much discussion like we're having now over Zoom, I assume when an objection is made, the party who has made the statement that there's been an objection, there will be a response.
The appreciation of a workplace investigator to the motives, including ulterior motives, is relevant to a workplace investigator's meeting their standard of care.
Sustained.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question? I lost track.
No, it's been overruled. You can't ask it. Mr. Rock, I do want to just check with you. I do give free rein to individuals to pursue their case, but this particular witness, at her outset, you objected to her at all, and indicating she didn't have much value and it was all repetitive. You've been on cross with her now as long as the other parties were on direct. How much time do you anticipate continuing?
I should be done in 10 minutes or fewer.
Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me, I'm just skipping questions consistent with them. Ms. Kettinger, yesterday when you were testifying with respect to factors into the city's decision to impose the maximum of liquidated damages, do you remember testifying on this topic?
Yes.
Some of those factors include the size and capacity of the employers?
Yes.
So I represent Mr. Machado, who's just one natural person. Are there any reasons to treat Mr. Machado differently than the corporate employers with respect to assigning the maximum in liquidated damages?
We, just because we find that they're joint employers, we treat them according to the rules for the minimum wage ordinance, which says to treat them as the larger entity.
Then would your answer be the same with respect to the size of the employer and access to, say, a human resources department?
My answer would be the same, yes.
Do you have any information that Mr. Machado had the ability to sign checks to pay the Baja employees?
I don't recall. I know that he when Baja would send invoices, he was part of that process handling those.
Any admission that Mr. Machado had check signing authority for either New Way or Baja?
I don't know about that.
Is that a factor in determining whether he should be a joint employer?
Whether he had check signing authority?
Yes.
I don't think that that is something really contemplated by the administrative roles.
From your perspective, it was not a factor?
Correct.
Thank you. Nothing further.
We will go to Cross, redirect, first by the city.
Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Keppinger.
Good morning.
Did OLS, from your review of the file and the information in the file, did OLS have any indication that Baja was simply doing payroll processing?
Did we have information that they were simply doing payroll processing?
Yes, and that's it. Nothing else but payroll processing.
No.
And did you ever receive any information from any of the respondents during the investigation that the records that they didn't provide to you were lost?
No.
Okay. Anybody talk about like a fire or flood or something that had destroyed the records that you were looking for?
No.
And there was some discussion about the timesheets and whether or not OLS somehow determined that they were reliable. During his investigations, who is responsible for showing that the timesheet records that they provided to you are not reliable and that the hours were actually something else? Who would be responsible for that?
The employer.
And was there one subpoena Mrs. Tecum issued to all the respondents?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. There's also been some discussion about visiting the work site and that nobody visited the work site. Were you investigating anything about did the investigation require a visit to the work site?
No.
Why is that?
Because the investigation involved the records that the respondents, the employers provided, and their testimony and the testimony of the people working there, and that was sufficient.
Okay.
The investigation.
And then what was happening during this investigation? Was there something going on around the world?
Oh, well, yes.
What was it?
COVID-19 pandemic began in March of 2020, I believe. And that was occurring at the same time as this investigation.
Okay. Now, following up on the site visit line of questioning from the respondents, there was a question about whether or not anyone from OLS observed the workers. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay. So, besides what OLS was hearing from the workers, was there anything else that you looked to determine or to try to evaluate whether or not workers, what they were telling you, was accurate?
Well, we we submitted requests for information to the employers for them to respond to, and we spoke with the employers who would speak with us, Mr. Machado. And looking at the records and as to who appeared in those records, we used those to corroborate what the employees were saying.
Okay. So, for example, when the workers that you talked to were telling you we work, sometimes we work 10, 12, 14 hours a day, did the timesheets corroborate that?
Yes.
Okay. And when they say we weren't getting paid for overtime, and you looked at the pay stubs that were provided by the employer, did the pay stubs corroborate that?
Yes.
And then when you heard from the workers that they didn't have paid sick and safe time, and there was no paid sick and safe time policy, and then you looked at the pay stubs, did the pay stubs corroborate that?
Yes.
Okay. And then when they said there was no paid sick and safe time policy, and then you asked Baja to provide their paid sick and safe time policy, did Baja's non-responsiveness with the paid sick and safe time policy corroborate what the workers had told you?
Yeah. Objection leading.
And this is also a cross-examination.
Overruled.
Okay. Did it corroborate that?
Yes.
Okay. And when the workers told you that they received two breaks a day, one morning break and one lunch break, no matter how long they worked. Did anyone from Newegg corroborate that? Anyone in particular?
Yes. Ooh, Mr. Machado.
Okay. Okay. And then, when the workers told you that these deductions were taken and they didn't sign anything about these, for these deductions, did anything corroborate that?
Yes.
What?
The lack of documentation showing that there was advanced express written authorization.
Okay. And when workers felt like they weren't getting paid the proper rate, or you know, less than what they thought they were going to get paid, did anything that you looked at corroborate the fact that they were being underpaid as far as minimum wage?
Yes.
What?
The records that the employers provided about pay.
That the employers provided?
Correct.
Okay. Now, was there anything during this investigation, was there anything that would, support a claim that the workers who were paid by Baja waived their meal period?
No.
What would you look to determine if workers had waived their meal period?
To testimony from the workers and from the employers, any written documentation to that effect.
Okay. Because during this investigation, did you just take one person's word for it?
No.
All right. You also were asking questions about tools.
Yes.
And deductions for tools. And I think there was a line of questioning. I'm sorry, I can't remember which person was talking at the time, but that asked you about if the workers had received the tools did they benefit from the deduction? Do you recall those questions yesterday?
Yes.
And you said your testimony, I believe, was that it would still be unlawful?
Yes.
Can you explain that?
So if they're deducting, you know, having the employee pay for the tools that are required to do the work that they're hired to do, that is not the responsibility of the worker to pay for those tools. The employer should be providing those.
And then would you expect to see some receipts maybe for the tools that they're being charged for?
Yes.
Because would an employer need to show that the amount that they had charged for the tools was not over the amount that the employer had paid for the tools?
Yes.
Again, this is also cross-examination. I believe I can leave that cross.
Overruled.
So you can answer if you recall my question.
Can you restate it?
Yes, it happened. So if the employer, if the payment for the tool or the charge to the tools, let me start over. If the charge for the tools or the deduction for the tools was something that had been worked out in advance, would you expect to see receipts from the employer for those tools?
Yes.
And would that kind of verify that the employer wasn't overcharging the tool? And knowing that an employer was not overcharging, would that weigh in your decision to find that this was unlawful? Like if you had one for one?
Yes, it would weigh.
Okay, so in this particular case, did you receive any receipts showing that, you know, the amount that the employer paid for the tools was the exact amount that was charged to the employee?
No.
Okay. But what about the rent? So we talked a little bit about the rent yesterday. Someone asked you about the market value of the rent. Do you recall those questions?
Yes.
So during your investigation, was there any indication that the amount of rent that was charged to the workers would change depending on how many people were in the apartment?
I believe that the information showed that the amount generally did not change. It remained constant regardless of the number of people in the apartment.
So if OLS reviewed the records and found that, who would that benefit?
That would benefit the employer or whoever's collecting the rent.
Okay. Now, there were also some questions about the language barriers, or alleged language barriers involved. May have made signing documents difficult. Is it impossible to follow the proper procedures and have documents signed by workers if there's a language barrier?
Objection, vague, relevance, and lack of foundation.
And argumentative.
Vague, I think if she doesn't understand my question, she can ask for follow-up. Relevant, because counsel asked I believe it was Mr. Kimball asked a question about language barriers and people not being able to read and write. So this is cross based on that. And then I don't believe at all this is argumentative. I don't know what to say to that.
And foundation was the last one.
Oh, foundation. Well, based on her experience and her position as the director's designee and the investigation enforcement manager, I believe she would know.
Overruled.
Do you recall my question?
Can you say it again? I think I did my answer.
Yes. With language barriers, is it impossible to follow the proper procedures for having things signed?
No.
Okay. As far as the rules and regulations that OLS enforces, or the rules that you enforce, is there an exception for it unless the person doesn't read and write English?
No.
Okay. Oh. Let me look some exhibits here. So let's look at City's exhibit number 97. I don't believe this is the exhibit that we get. There's no corresponding hearing examiner number. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
And if I scroll down a little bit, do you know what this is? Let's start at the top.
Yes.
You recognize what this is?
Yes.
What is it?
It's an annual report from the Washington Secretary of State regarding Baja concrete.
Okay. So in your role as a senior investigator and as the director's designee and as the enforcement manager, would you have to look at these on occasion?
Yes.
Okay. I'm scrolling down at page 1687, and for the governors, who are the people that are listed as the governors of Baja Concrete?
The governors listed are Claudia Leticia Penanuri and Carlos Armando Penanuri Ibarra.
Okay, so if a person is listed as one of the governors of a company, would you expect that you would be able to talk to them?
Yes.
If you're doing an investigation, I should say.
Yes.
And were you able to speak to Carlos Penanuri Ibarra in this case?
I don't believe we were able to speak with him, no.
Okay. So, I believe there were questions about why you would want to speak to Carlos. Did OLS just pull his name out of a hat, or where did the idea that you would need to speak to Carlos come from?
Well, from records such as these that show him to be the governor of the business.
And to admit this one, only the city and Mr. Machado agreed to it, or stipulated to it.
Marked as Exhibit 89, is there any objection to 89 being admitted?
There's no objection.
No objection.
89 is admitted.
And also for City's Exhibit number, do you guys know any more for me? City's Exhibit number 93, Hearing Examiner Exhibit number 33. Share this with you. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
And do you recognize what this is?
Yes.
What is it?
These are the articles of incorporation for Baja Concrete, for incorporating in Florida.
Down to page 1666, and the articles of incorporation, who are the directors that are listed for Baja Concrete USA?
The directors listed for Baja are Claudia L. Penanuri and Carlos Armando Penanuri Ibarra.
When you determine that there are employers working together, they're integrated, and you find that they're joint employers, do you kind of split up the check, I'll call it, or split up the amount that is imposed or that you're seeking to recover? Do you split it up amongst the respondents?
No.
Can you explain that?
Well, when we find that the employers are integrated or joint employers, we're just looking at what should have been paid to the workers. We're looking overall at the total amount owed and the penalties and fines. We're not assigning specific blame to each party. And often what happens is that those parties will determine amongst themselves how they will make payment.
Okay. All right. So now, I'm also going to show you. Hearing Examiner Exhibit Number 88, Cities 108. This is the subpoena business ticket that you had questions about yesterday. So, can you see my screen?
Yes.
All right. So, specifically showing you page 1749, item number 12. Can you see that?
Yes, I can see that.
Okay. Does item number 12 ask that the documents that are requested in item number 12 be provided by the quote unquote employer of record? Is that anywhere in this request?
No.
And item number 5, can you see item 5 on my screen?
Yes.
Yes. So the request for in communication between Antonio Machado, Roberto Contreras, Carlos Pinamari Ibarra, and any employee of Baja Concrete, is that request made specifically to quote unquote the employer of record?
No.
And so now, for example, in item number 5, did you ever receive these things from anyone? In item number 5.
If we received anything like that, it would have been from a worker. But I don't believe we received this from the employers.
Okay. So did Mr. Machado provide you with his communications between him, Roberto, and Carlos?
No.
I will show you, it's been marked as digit 105, not digit 3. Everyone at Sedlaw has to be related to this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you recognize what this is?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay, what is this?
It's a request for information.
Okay. And who is this particular one, exhibit 105, who is this to?
This is to New Wave Flooring and Antonio Machado.
Okay.
Counsel, if you want to offer this as evidence, we're not objecting. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you for that. I will in just a second. So I'm scrolling down to page 1732 to show you the questions that were asked in paragraphs 5 and 6. So in paragraph 5, what was requested of Antonio Machado, Roberto Soto Contreras, and Carlos, or I'm sorry, Antonio Machado and New Way Forming, what was requested?
What was requested was all written communication, texts, and or emails between Antonio Machado, Roberto Contreras, Carlos Anagari Ibarra, and or any employee of Baja Concrete from 2017 to the present, concerning the hours that were worked by Baja Concrete employees and any requested sick leave from those employees.
Okay. And did you receive this information?
No. Not in response to this request for information.
And what about number 6?
We did not receive response to number 6.
And what is number 6?
Number 6 is requesting all written communication, text, and or email between Antonio Machado and Roberto Contreras from 2017 to the present relating to New Wave Forming, Baja Concrete, and the Denning Way construction site.
Okay. And so is this asking, in essence, Mr. Machado for his own communications?
Yeah,
yes.
Beyond the scope of cross.
I believe Mr. Machado asked questions about what was requested of him and what he didn't provide.
Mr. Rock?
Mr. Machado's attorney asked questions of the sort.
In cross of this witness?
Yes.
Mr. Rock, you can respond.
Yes, we asked specifically in the context of the subpoena, and that's not this exhibit.
Sustained.
Before you got to the subpoena, did you ask Mr. Machado for information that was contained in the subpoena?
Jack, yes. Beyond the scope of cross.
Well, we're talking about the step of the subpoena, there were things that happened before that. And so this witness can talk about how they got to the subpoena. He asked questions about the subpoena.
Overrule.
So before you got to the subpoena, were you seeking information from Mr. Machado?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you get to the subpoena?
Anyway, how did we get to the subpoena?
Yeah.
Well, we had to file the subpoena because Mr. Machado and the others, other respondents did not respond to these requests, such as this request for information.
Okay, so this request came before the subpoena?
Correct.
And non-responsiveness to this request is what spurred the subpoena?
Correct.
So I've moved to it.
So I've moved to it.
Cities number 105.
Marked as Exhibit 90. Any objection to Exhibit 90?
No objection from Baumhaus, as I indicated earlier.
Exhibit 90 is admitted.
Okay. So there were some questions. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Questions about the break that occurred at 10:30, or from 10, in between 10 and 10:30, around that time. There was testimony about whether or not there was a break there during the day. You're
calling. I'm sorry. I'm distracted. My child is calling and crying, and I don't know that my child care provider is responding. Is it okay if I just take a step away to check on her?
We'll go off the record for 2 minutes. Return at 9:49.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.